Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life Song Church. Everybody, how you doing? Everybody doing good? Give me a clap if you're doing well. Hey, would you help me? We've got folks that join us at another campus and online. Can we give them a big hand to say thanks for being with us? We're so glad you're a part of Life Song Church. For those of you that don't know, Life Song Church is one church in multiple locations. We've got another campus up in Worcester. We've got folks that join us online every week. And so it's wonderful to have all of you joining us. If this is your first time at Life Song, just want to welcome you personally. My name is Pastor David. I'm the lead pastor here at Life Song. And we have a saying around here. We believe Sunday should be the very best day of the week. If it's not the best day of the week, we're doing it wrong, even though it's raining. Somebody say amen. All right, good. Well, listen, today, of course, is a super special day. So the first thing I'd like to do before we go any further is if you are a mom, we want you to stand up. We want to celebrate you, all the moms in the house. Come on, stand up to your feet, moms. Woohoo! Come on. Now, why doesn't everybody else stand up? Give them a standing ovation because they're incredible, aren't they? Come on. Let's celebrate all the moms. Moms, right now, you feel a little invisible, and sadly, that's how your life goes sometimes. But we want you to know you're important and special, so thank you so much for being here with us. We celebrate you today. I want to take just a moment and thank my wife for being an incredible mom to our kids. I know y'all get to thank all of your moms on Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff, but today I have a microphone, and baby, thank you for being an incredible mom to our kids. And sometimes to me, but that's another subject. It's a message for a different day. I also want to take just a moment. Many of you may not know this, but my parents live in Kansas City, and my mom actually gives to this church because she believes in the mission of this church and what we do. My parents are huge supporters of our church, so I just want to take a moment and say, Mom, if you're watching, happy Mother's Day. I love you, and I'm so grateful to be your son. Okay. All right, hopefully you brought tissues with you today. I forgot them, but that's okay. I'm going to get mine during the break here in a second. Today is the last day of a series that we've been in called Tell the Story. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at incredible stories where the power of God has moved mightily in people's lives. In many cases, they didn't know how to anticipate it. In some cases, they maybe didn't have a relationship with God at one point. They were going through a difficult situation, a problem situation. Maybe one of the two spouses in marriage, maybe she had a relationship with God, but he didn't, or whatever. And there's this journey that they've walked, and there comes a moment when they've sought God, and they've just said, God, we don't know what to do. We don't know everything. We don't know what to do, but we need you. And we've told three stories over the last 3 weeks. If you have not seen those, you need to go online and watch them, because they've been incredible stories of not just the power of God in people's lives, but the way that God wants to move in all of our lives. And there are different ways that he moves in different situations, but the truth of the matter is God is faithful even when we're not, and we need God to move. And so you need to go see those stories. It'll build your faith. It'll encourage you. And today, we're going to tell one more. Before we do, I want you to do this for me. Grab your worship guide. Grab your iPad. Grab your phone. Grab somebody's arm, because you need to take some notes today. My belief is that as we close up this series, so our last story in the series today, so we close it up, there are four big things we're going to talk about that I'm going to help you with as we get to the end of the story here. But I want to make sure you're ready to take some notes on them. The very first thing, though, is our series idea. If you have missed all the weeks, this is important. Here's the series big idea, that your story has the power to begin another story, but only if it's told. Now, we've said this for, this is the fourth week, we're talking about this. Your story has within it the power to begin another, but only if it's told. And here's where we've gone. I want you to hear this again. Maybe you've heard it every week, but I want you to hear this. You have a story. You have a story. I promise that you have a story. You may not know your story. You may be trying to figure out, where are the fingerprints of God in my world? Because I don't see them clearly. You might be trying to figure out, God, when are you going to show up? For some of you in here, you may be saying, I'm not sure what I think about God, and your story has been extremely messy because there's been no point of inflection where you allowed Jesus to come and get into the middle of your life and redirect your story. But I promise you that you have one. Here's the thing. That story, kept to yourself, can depress you. It can scare you. It could encourage you. It could be something that you privately in your time with God just celebrate. It could be in your private moments with God where you weep and wail, but I promise you there's a story. And if You will let the story that you've been experiencing come to be told. I promise you, someone else is going to step into their story differently because of what you've been sharing. I'll just tell you this real quick, and then I'll give you a scripture verse to write down. I'll introduce you to our story. Last weekend, we had a gentleman come up after service. For those of you that were here, you remember last weekend's story was Jesse and Melanie Johnson, and they told their story of a messy marriage and a messy background and life. They didn't understand marriage. They didn't understand purity. They didn't understand what it looked like to honor God and in individually, much less to honor their spouse in marriage in this messy, messy, messy journey. And then God got a hold of them, and they surrendered fully to God and said, all right, you're in charge. And when that happened, and they kind of opened their hands and said, God, you're in charge, we're not. And God began to shape and change who they were. Their marriage began to get restored. And over the last 3 years, it's been a powerful story. There was a gentleman at the end of that message that came up front, never been to Lifesong Church before, showed up here, lives in Marlboro or Framingham, and showed up and comes to the front and says, that's my story. I need Jesus. I want you to understand that your story has great power, but only if you let other people hear your story. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 has been our theme verse for this, and that is that the believers, the people of God, we overcome, we defeat the enemy of our soul. All of the attack that comes against us is defeated, first of all, because of what Jesus did, and second of all, because we tell our story. And we let people know about the power of God, the way God has worked in our life. We have to talk about it. And then there's service and sacrifice that follows. It says, and they loved not their lives unto death. So you've got to tell your story. Today, we're going to tell one more story. And I want to introduce you to a couple. We're going to see their story on video today. Their names are the Freemans. They'll introduce themselves. But they've been coming to Lifesong for about 2.5-3 years, something like that. And you'll hear a little of their story, but Heather had a relationship with Jesus for quite a while, but her husband, I'll just say it was casual at best, if there was one there. And in a couple of years ago at Easter 2015, he fully surrendered his life to Jesus. And their journey began to take a turn, and they have desperately been needing the power of God in their story. And I want to say to you today that you may not be going through the specific things that they've been going through. You might not have been in the specific place that they've been in, but I know there are some in here that have. There's some in here that are. But regardless of the application, you're going to hear the mighty move of God and the way that they went after God and how God responded in that. And so I want you to pay close attention, take some notes. I want you to hear the story of Casey and Heather Freeman.
Hi, I'm Casey Freeman.
And I'm Heather Freeman. When I was in my mid to late 20s, I felt like God told me that I was going to have a lot of children, which I thought was kind of crazy at the time because I didn't have a boyfriend and I was living on my own. And so I kind of laughed out loud, like that's a ridiculous thought. Casey and I got married in 2013. We had a pretty short courtship because we had been friends for years. We knew that we both wanted a family, so we started trying right away. After about 6 months of not being able to get pregnant, we went to go see a doctor who told me that because I wasn't over 35, that we should keep trying and come back in 6 months. 13 months after we got married, I fell down the stairs and I slipped 2 discs. And I was put on a lot of medication, and the medication they put me on really messed up my hormones and actually confused the doctor that we were seeing. And so we got frustrated and we sought out a second doctor. That second doctor told us that my ovaries were failing and that I would probably never have kids. And we would hear that almost every month, and they would they just kept giving us different drugs to try, different things to try, but nothing was really working.
It was a really hard journey, just trying to keep faith and trying to keep the motivation to go back again and again to be told that we weren't pregnant.
After about a year of going to that doctor and having several failed attempts of getting pregnant, we started to go to a third doctor And this definitely put pressure on our marriage. I felt like a failure. The third doctor, by the time we got to the third doctor, we had already been going to Life Song for a little while. And there was one time when we were going to Life Song, and I had a vision actually during that service. And I didn't tell Casey about it for a while, but I saw Jesus with all these little lights dancing around him. And I knew those lights were our kids. And I felt him tell me that he would give them to us when he would give them to us when he was ready. We felt like we wanted to go down front and get some prayer for some of the treatments we were going through. And Casey recognized Christine and her husband Charbel just professionally. And so we went forward and they prayed with us, and that was amazing. With our third doctor, the appointments can be very expensive. So what we both started praying for was that the money that we were putting into these treatments, that even if we didn't get pregnant, that the money would still be used for God's kingdom, and that maybe there was a nurse on staff that needed the money to feed her kids. Who knows? We just were trusting that God would take the money we were using for the treatments and still use it for his kingdom. April or May of last year, I went to Captivate, and the whole theme of Captivate was on forgiveness and bitterness, and Elaine Fisher spoke about how she had held on to not forgiving some people because people had done things to her that were really wrong, and she felt kind of like justified in not forgiving them. And she had gone throughout life with this feeling, and she found it in her heart to forgive some of these people that had wronged her. Realized that she should be praying for them, not holding this bitterness against them. And almost a year to the day that she started doing that, she got pregnant. There are a few people in my life in particular that I know that I had held bitterness against them, that I had not forgiven them because I felt that what they had done to me deserved for me to be angry with them, and that was okay. And after hearing Elaine speak and Janelle speak on bitterness during Captivate, I realized that that's probably not the right thing to do. I'm a runner, and a week later I went for a run, and during that run I just turned off my iPod and I started to pray for these people that I had never forgiven before. And I just felt like this huge release come from me for doing that. I went for that run and I, you know, started to forgive and started to pray for people on May 8th of 2016. And during the course of the year, anytime those people came to mind and I got angry, instead of getting angry and thinking about them and just kind of letting it chew me up inside, I had a different attitude about it, and I actually would pray for those people. The second they would pop in my head, I would just start to pray for them. We also at that time had gone to an adoption fair and submitted an application to become foster parents, but the application actually went to an intern and it got lost. We were still seeing the third doctor in late August of 2016. We got a phone call. And we were pregnant.
Every night we'd pray. I'd pray on her belly just to bless us and to take care of the little one and make her healthy. And every appointment we always went to was positive, always a heartbeat.
That was May 8th of 2016, and we just had our daughter on April 23rd, 2017. And I was due on April 30th. She came a week early, so almost a year to the date.
And she's perfect.
We named her Vera, and it actually means faith, and it means hope. And so her name to us means faith and hope, which is what we've clung to this whole time.
Thank you.
bones, you're going to need some tissue. I've watched that several times. And I still need tissue. Sometimes the journey we're in feels unbearable. It feels hopeless. It feels like no matter what we do or what we try, money we invest, effort that we put into it, it feels like there's dead ends, and sometimes it only gets worse. And for Casey and Heather, that's exactly the journey. And you could be in the middle of that one. I know that there are families here, couples here who desperately want children. I pray, God, give us our kids. I know there are people like the Freemans who've been in that place, and a miracle happened, and they have children. I want you to understand several things from their story because it doesn't just apply to the desperation of desiring to be a mom or to be a dad. There could be something else that's got you desperate. And I think the things that they learned and what you heard in their story, if you'll take them and you'll apply them, you'll start to live and walk in them. I believe that it's not a formula, because I don't think God works in formulas, but I think there are some principles that are true in their story that we need to hear. Will you just write a few of these things down? This is the first one. The voice you believe will determine the future you experience. The voice you believe will determine the future you experience. Now, we've all heard things like that as kids. You know, don't believe it when someone calls you dumb, or don't listen when someone calls you stupid, don't listen when someone calls you names. And we correct our children when they call one another names because we know the power of words. It's very, very, very true. But sometimes as we approach adulthood, we miss this truth in the middle of adult life experiences. And we kind of like, yeah, that's an important childhood lesson, but now we're grown-ups, so we have to deal with reality. And we do, don't get me wrong. But in the context of our journey with the Lord, there are some things scripturally that are true, and sometimes we let the voices of the world in which we live trump the power of the voice of God over our life. I want you to hear this story. You may not be familiar with it, but it's in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 27 to 33. If you want to, you can turn in your Bible there. I'm going to read a few of these verses for you. It says this. It says, and there this was their report to Moses. And who's reporting here are some spies who entered into a land that God had promised them. God had promised the people of Israel a promised land. There was a land that they were going to have that was going to be their own. And as they approached it, there were some kind of recon work that went on. And these spies went on ahead to kind of check out what was going on and then come and bring a report back to the leadership and say, here's what's going on. Let me tell you what's going to happen based on what we've seen. I'm telling you that some of you have gotten reports from people who've tried to see ahead into what your world is going to look like, your marriage is going to be like, your life is going to be like, her ovaries were going to be like. The spies came back to Moses, and this is what they said. They said, we entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, yes, there's a wonderful place over here. Yes, Heather, Casey, children will be amazing. There's a land and it's amazing. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean and along the Jordan Valley. Here is the report. You've been to three doctors and your ovaries are destroyed. There are no children for you. Yes, children would be amazing. Yes, you may have seen Jesus with lights dancing around you. But what is ahead of you is impossible to conquer. The thing that has happened to you is impossible to overcome. There is no treatment. There's no medication. It can't be done. And listen, it may not be the issue of having children. It could be another medical diagnosis. It could be a financial diagnosis. It could be all kinds of things that are, someone has said to you, this is impossible. There's no way that we can receive what God has said is ours. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood there before Moses, and he said, let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we. And here's what I want you to hear. Not just the question of whose report, who is it that you're going to believe, the voices around you or the voice of the Lord, but there's a comparison that took place in this moment, and it was a comparison of strength. They are stronger than we. In other words, what is against us is not just scary looking, but we are putting our faith in their ability. They are stronger than we are. And there is some strength that is yet to be tapped into by you. Scripture says that God has a strong right arm. And there may be devastating circumstances, but it is not stronger than he, although it may be stronger than we. Maybe bigger than I am, but it's not bigger than God is. And if I put my confidence in the voice of the earth, I will take away the strength of God by putting my confidence in the strength I see. The voice you believe will determine the future you experience. They decided to trust the declaration of God over her belly, over her ovaries, and the promises of God that he showed her when she was 20 years old. God, your voice is bigger than the voice. It's scary and it's hard, but I trust you more than I trust what I hear. Are you going to choose to trust the voices around you? Because the future you experience is often determined by the voices that you listen to. Here's the second thing I want you to hear. Sometimes we have to lay down our dream so that God can give it back to us. Sometimes we have to lay down our dream so that God can give it back to us. There's so many stories like this in the Bible. I could go through a bunch. I'll just reference a couple of them. Abraham and Sarah. If you don't know who Abraham and Sarah are, stories in the Old Testament about them. He's the father of Israel, really. And so Abraham and Sarah want to have children, and God has promised them to have children. Sounds very much like what had happened with Heather, and yet there are no children, and they're now at an old age, and no children have come. So Sarah takes life into her own hands and says, you know what, Abraham, I'm going to give you my servant so you can have a child with her. I'm going to make happen what God said he wants to do. I'm going to manufacture what God has promised. And Heather and Casey, as you know, were doing everything they could to try and bring to pass something that they desperately dreamed and wanted. And they were investing money and time and emotion and energy. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't go after what we want. But I'm saying that sometimes what's going on in us is that we believe the dream that we're going to experience, we can bring it to pass. And when that happens, we take credit for what God wants to do for us. And we can end up bringing the dream to pass. Can you imagine the story if Heather and Casey said, yeah, and our second doctor, we invested $40 billion, and we went through hormone therapy, and we did this, and we did that, and then we got pregnant. You know what the story would be? The story would be, you got to spend a lot of money, but we got there. It would not be, God gave us the children. He showed me when I was 20 years old. He was going to be the dream giver, not me. And you and I sometimes go after a dream, because we believe it's something that we're called to do or we want to do. And I'm just saying there are times where maybe we need to step back and go, you know what, God? That dream, maybe I need to step back and say, God, I'm going to wait on you to give me the dream. You're going to bring it to pass, not me. Because if I manufacture, God, I might take credit for it. I might say, look what I built. Look what I've done. See what I've made. I remember when Janelle and I were on this journey to plant a church. And we had this thought and dream in our mind about what it would be like to plant a church, to lead a church, and felt like God had called us to that, and we were running hard after it. We were trying to figure it out, we were trying to bring it to pass, and the whole time it felt like we were running on a gerbil wheel. Just like, come on, you know, is this gonna happen? We went up to another church up in Bangor, Maine, where they'd asked me to come speak, and I went up there and spoke, and the outcome of that trip was that they were going to invite me to come and be the senior pastor of a church up in Bangor, Maine. How many know that's a dream come true? They wanted Janelle and I to come up there and pastor that church, and they'd offered it to us, and I remember Janelle and I having, conversation after conversation after conversation. Her saying to me, I don't want to go live in Bangor. I'm saying, you know, I'm not sure I do either. So we can't do that. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know. She said, well, do we really have to go? I said, I don't know. We need to pray. And she's like, you know, are there places to shop? Is there anywhere to go shopping in Bangor, Maine? No. I said, no, there isn't. No, I'm just kidding. I said, baby, I don't know. But I know that if God's calling us to do this, we need to stop trying to fight for what we think we want and say yes to the door God is opening. And she was like, is that in the Bible? Because I think you just ate bad food. I don't know if that's true. She said, okay. And so we just prayed and we said, God, we're not sure we really want to go live in Bangor, Maine. In fact, if we could have what we want, God, we would want to plant a church either in Kansas City near my family or up here in New England near her family and where our best friends and really the people that are like my family are. But God, if you want us to go to Bangor, Maine, we'll lay that aside and we'll go to Bangor, Maine. We went up there one last time and preached. And I came back and on July 4th, they said, can we have a conversation with the board? I said, yes. And we got on the phone. They'd made some changes and they said, you know what? Never mind, we're not going to do this. And I went home and told my wife, and she had a praise break. Yes, Jesus! Truth of the matter is, we had laid aside our dream, and we began to let God ignite something in us for a place that we didn't dream about. We felt like God was going to take us to. And so when that door shut, it was brutal for us. And we spent a whole winter practically depressed. Just thinking about, God, what about us? Are we on the sideline now? What happened to that dream you stirred in us in 2003, God? What about that? When it, like, God, we set aside what we thought you were going to give us so we could do this thing we thought you were leading us to. And it wasn't until the spring of 05 when God basically stepped back into the situation and said, now I can give you your dream. And it's because of that laying aside our dream and letting God give it back to us that we can hold this church and our journey here with such joy, because we didn't build it. And I promise you that the Freemans hold Vera very differently in light of the journey they've walked, because they laid aside a dream. God, we want to have kids, we want to have kids. And now it seems like it's a dead dream. And God said, now that it's dead, I can bring it to life. And you will never forget the power of God and the story of God. You'll hold Vera differently. You'll see me differently. You'll see me as your dream giver, not just the God whose box you check because you show up at church. Sometimes we have to lay down our dream so that God can give it back to us. What is the dream that you've been trying to manufacture? What is it you've been trying to say, no, God, I got this. No, God, I'm going to figure it out. God, I don't need you involved. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I'm independent enough. I'm educated enough. I'm wealthy enough. I can make it happen all by myself. I don't need you, God. Promise you there were thoughts like that went through Casey and Heather's mind. We've got resources. We're successful. We can do this. And I don't think God withheld children from them, but I do think there was a moment when they had to say, God, we surrender. We surrender. We've tried to do it ourselves, and we can't. So, God, we surrender. 2015, when Casey said, yes, Jesus, I surrender. And in early 2016, when Heather said, I surrender. I've been trying to get justice on my own for all this stuff, bitterness and unforgiveness. I'm home. I surrender. What is the dream that has not yet come to pass? And is it possible? Is it possible that the dream hasn't materialized because you're still trying to make it happen? And God says, will you let me be the one who gives you the desires, even the dreams of your heart? Here's a third thing I think is critical in their journey. It's this. It's that our ability to receive is based on our readiness to receive it. And I just want you to think about this for a minute. Anybody ever go on a trip on an airplane? Anybody ever fly anywhere? Come on, there's got to be a few of you in here. Okay, a lot of you. How many of you have ever had to fly, and you're flying a long way, and you've got a lot of stuff to take? You have a lot of stuff to take with them? Okay, like you've got a carry-on, and you've got a checked bag, and you got a bag over your shoulder, right? So we got a lot of stuff. Now, how many of you, ladies, raise your hand for me. How many of you, ladies, come on, I know you're in here. I'm looking at several of you. You can't hide. Like, I see you. Okay, right? So ladies, how many of you ever traveled with a man? Oh, a lot more hands went up when I added that part, because you know what's coming. So here's the way it works. So oftentimes, like, right, so we've got the carry-on, and we've got the bag, and then we've got the shoulder bag, but then mom or the wife may be carrying another bag with all the snacks in it and the water bottles, and then she's got something like hanging over her arm, so she's like a foot is dragging things to get through the airport. Her hands are completely full. Where was she trying to go? Moms feel like that all the time. They're folding laundry. They're trying to get husbands to help somehow. They're out mowing the yard with one hand, putting the trash out with the other. Hands are full. And if you went up to mom in the airport, or you went up to someone in the airport whose hands were full, and you tried to give them, no matter how good the gift was, no matter how wonderful it was, whatever it was you want to give them, no matter how great it was, they can't receive it if all their hands are full. It's impossible. Doesn't matter how great it is. They can't receive it until they take some stuff out of their hands they've been holding on to. And Heather, in her story, tells about how that's the message of, that Elaine Fisher shared and that Janelle shared at Captivate a couple of years ago helped her see how her hands were full. All she had in her hands was unforgiveness and bitterness. All that consumed her was justice for someone else. All that she could do would be to cling tightly and be consumed by these things that rotted her soul. She said the Lord dealt with her, and out on a run, she began to open up her hands and let go. God, I forgive Jim or Sally, and God, I release them. God, not only do I release them, but I pray for blessing. I pray for favor. I begin to speak life over them. And as I speak life over them, it's like things being taken out of my hands, bottles being set down and baggage being laid aside and a carry-on stowed over there and my husband taking the bag off my arm. So my hands are free to receive whatever it was that God would want to give me. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And Joshua told the people," it said, "consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." In preparation for amazingness, we have to get some things right. And I wonder for you, I wonder for me, if there are aspects of what I feel like God has told me is yet to come, and I simply can't receive it as much as he'd like to give it to me because my hands are full. What is it that I hang on to that I can't receive God's best for me, God's dream for me, the dream he wants to give back to me? Even if he could do it right now, I can't hold it. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that I'm holding on to that stands in the way of us receiving what God would have? And then I want to give you one last thing here, and this is such a big deal, and it's not just a point in this message, but it's really this whole series. I hope you'll hear it. You may watch some of these stories, even the Freeman story, and think, you know, that's not where I am. You know, we've got 5 children. In fact, I wish God would stop giving us such blessings. It's hard to say things like that in light of stories like the Freemans. God, you've given us 5. I don't want any more. But you don't know that at the other end of the row, someone's going, God, where's my one? You may be saying, God, you've given us all this financial provision, but we got this challenge in this situation. Someone at the other end is going, I've got that. Now, that God's working there. If we could just, God, I need you to intervene in our finances. See, our lens on what is devastating and what is difficult and what is a place where we don't see the power of God, a place where we need God to intervene, a place where our dream is absent, may look different to the person down the road than it is to you. But whatever it is in you feels like the most significant, devastating, pressing reality that you're in. And all through this story, all through this journey, there have been different stories. Physical healing, delivery of children, restoration of marriage, financial restoration, the destruction of the things in us that keep us from seeing God's hand, like pride. All through the story, and you have it. And here's the last thing I want you to write down. We dismiss the power of God when we forget the journey he's brought us through. When we forget the journey that he's brought us through, the power of God gets lost. I want you to just try and think for a minute. Let's just put yourself out in the foyer or down the street, and after today, you run into Casey and Heather. You're getting breakfast somewhere, or you're at the grocery store, or you're somewhere, and you run into them, and you're like, oh my gosh, congratulations, it's so amazing. Your daughter's beautiful. And they say, it's just a baby. That's just a baby. Like, you can't imagine a response like that ever coming out of them. It's just a baby. Why? Because you know the desperation that there was. And you know the circumstances that were pressing against them. And you know the doctor's reports that they were facing. And you knew the ovaries. It, like, the journey that they've gone through makes the power of God so visible and celebrated. And when we forget the journey, we say to the world, we even subtly say to God, power's no big deal. Your intervention's no big deal. No, it's just a baby. I don't know. Listen, it was just our marriage. No, really, it's not that big a deal. It's just my back. I just couldn't walk. I mean, it's just no big deal. We dismiss the power of God when we don't remember and we don't look back on and we don't think about the brokenness and the missing pieces and the, I couldn't lift up my children. I couldn't carry my kids. I was going to have to be in surgery repeatedly. We were going to go bankrupt. My marriage was going to collapse. We weren't going to have children. When we forget the journey, the power of God becomes dismissed. We take it for granted. We just kind of treat it like it's casual. And I'm telling you, if you were the person sitting on the other side of the story, if you were Casey and Heather, you'd be saying, no, 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 the journey was brutal. And because of the brutality of the journey, the power of God is magnificent. What is the story that God needs to write in you? Scripture says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, it says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there's none like me. Deuteronomy chapter 15 says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong and powerful arm. And that's why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. Don't forget the mess you were in and the power of God that delivered you. Psalm 77 says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. What is it that is consuming your thought? What is it that has filled up your hands? What is it that's the dream that you've held on to so tightly and you think you can manufacture it, that you've left God standing on the side looking at you going, I have a strong right arm. I can make it happen. I can bring the dream to pass. I'm dying to do it. Will you just surrender and give up and let me be the one who brings all your desires to pass? When are you gonna let me do it? When are you gonna surrender? As we close this series, I want you to stand up to your feet. I want to pray over our church. I want to pray for your journey. I want to pray for your dreams. I want to pray for the power of God to move. I want us to invite God into the story. Stop keeping him on the side. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Close your eyes. Go ahead. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Close your eyes. Let me pray for you. Come on. Go ahead. Put them up real high. You may be here for the very first time and say, this seems a little odd. It's okay. All this is just a posture of surrender. God, I surrender. We talked about it through this whole series. I can't do it. I need God to do it. I surrender, God. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I want you to look across this room. Holy Spirit, wash across this room from right to left right now. Every single person who's got a dream or a desire, maybe it's dead, or maybe, God, they've tried to hold it tightly and not let you in. They've tried to manufacture it on their own. God, I just pray that you would speak to their spirit and communicate with them, God, whisper to their spirit, tell them how desperately you want to step in, meet a need, deliver a dream, conquer an obstacle, be the one who brings to pass everything that is the desire of their heart, if they'll but surrender. God, where there's unforgiveness, would you just whisper, God, whisper to their spirit, give them the power to release others from injustice, from hurt, and from pain, God. Where there are women who are desperate to be mothers, they're mothers in waiting, God, would you move mightily right now in their womb, in their body, where there have been physical reports that they can do it, God. Would you move in their body right now in Jesus' name, that there would be a testimony and a story yet to be written in some of their lives, God. Where it's women who are waiting for a husband, God, they're believing and sure, God, that you want to bring someone into their life to be their complement, their husband, God. Would you just give them the grace and strength to believe that you want to bring that dream to pass for them, God? Where are their physical issues and financial issues? Holy Spirit of God, I'm praying that you would break the power of ownership in our life, God. Let us surrender. Turn our palms up towards you instead of closed fists around the things we think we can do. Holy Spirit, move in this place in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. There are some of you in here who are hearing the story of Heather and Casey and hearing the story of others who've experienced the power of God at work, and you have yet to even say yes to Jesus. Jesus has just been a name that you know, and church has been a box you've checked, but you've never surrendered your life. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody in here's got their head bowed, their eyes closed, but I want you to just let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. I'm going to invite you to say yes to Jesus. And then our whole church is going to pray a prayer with you. We're all going to say it together, but this is your moment of surrender. And so on the count of three, if you're going to pray this prayer and acknowledge Christ and ask God to forgive you and start a journey with Jesus, I want you to let me know that on the count of three by just putting your hand up real high in the air. Say, Pastor David, that's me today. I don't want to do this on my own. I need Jesus to come and change the trajectory of my life. If that's you, are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Who would say that today? There's one right there. Who else would say that? Somebody else would say, I need Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There's another one. I need Jesus, and I surrender today. There's another one right there. Thank you, God. Well, why don't you go ahead and put your hands down? Everyone that raised your hand today, our whole church is going to pray this prayer with you. Everybody, would you join them and say this? Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for sending him. I thank you that he died, and I thank you for raising him back to life just for me. Today, God, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin. Would you make me new because of Jesus? And today, Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Savior and as my Lord, and I surrender to you. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.